Hey there, this is Seth Wars from Channel 9, coming to you from the beautiful campus of JPL, NASA's JPL. Can you believe I'm at NASA? So excited. I'm here with a very special guest. Tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Michelle Easter. I'm a mechatronics engineer here at JPL, working on three really awesome tasks, which I wish I could tell you all about all of them, but I think
but
it would
you
take
can't.
Me the whole interview.
Oh, you know what? We have time. Because you said the word mechatronics, and I'm kind of a dancing monkey sometimes, but you actually make dancing monkeys. Why don't you tell us about what that means?
So mechatronics is this kind of hybrid field, and it includes elements of mechanical design and fabrication, along with electronics and also some embedded coding. So a mechatronic system is basically something that has a physical form and some blood, so to speak, mm-hmm. so some current that makes it go, and some code that tells it what to do.
Now, that's amazing, because I did an interview once with somebody, and they're like, I'm a machine learning guy, and they're like, yeah, Seth, machine learning's nice, but then when you have to actually make it do something in real life, there's like a complete other aspect of stuff.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about that whole other aspect that I have no idea about?
I guess the aspect that you're talking about is the relationship with physics.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're building a physical object and you want to tell it to do some stuff, you've got to consider all of these additional things like forces of physics mm-hmm. and the interaction between the different components that you have assembled together. So it's not always as easy as you
yes.
have it to be.
That's what she said, yeah.
But it's really fun and rewarding, and I think my favorite part about mechatronics is it's this area of engineering that allows you to kind of run the whole gamut. You know, you can say, okay, I need to solve this problem. I need to build a system that's going to serve a purpose and solve a problem. So you get to have the artistic input to kind of like design components and think about how you want to manufacture them. So that's a very creative, artistic process. And then once you have those components manufactured and all assembled, then you get with like the real problem solving stuff with the code. Mm-hmm. And you can implement all different kinds of codes to solve problems. Programming is actually a really creative field also, because mm-hmm. there's a million ways to skin the cat. It's just whatever is maybe most efficient or easiest.
And if it wasn't for those robots, Matt Damon would still be on Mars.
Poor Matt Damon.
I'm just saying.
Gotta bring him home.
I know. So you mentioned there's three areas you work on. Can you talk a little bit about those if you can?
Yeah, sure. So there's three projects that I'm on right now, and they're all super exciting. The first one, which is probably the most exciting, no offense to my other projects, but it's for the Europa Lander. So are you familiar with the lander?
Is that one of the moons of Jupiter?
Yeah.
Is that the one with the ice underneath it?
Yes, with the liquid water underneath the ice.
So tell us about that.
So the cool thing about Europa is that, like I said, there's this huge body of liquid water underneath the surface. And generally, when we think about looking for life in the universe, we look for liquid water because generally, if you have water, you have life. So although Europa is really far away and extremely cold and doesn't receive a lot of energy from the sun, it has a magnetic core that responds with a lot of tidal gravitational forces with Jupiter. And what that causes is this like flexing frictional heat energy
right.
inside the core that makes that ice actually melt on the inside of Europa. So who knows what's inside there? I'm really hoping that there is some
weird
life
form. There was a scary movie I saw on Europa where they got
the Europa
eaten
report?
By... That's the one!
Did I totally saw that.
I know. I got scared.
I'm hoping that that's what it's like.
So is your robot going to be the first that's going to be eaten by the Europa dragon?
So I'm actually not working on a robot for the lander. Right now I'm working on developing testbed infrastructure here at JPL.
Oh, I see.
And so the thing is that's really tricky about the Europa Lander is that we've never built a robot that has had to survive in this kind of environment. It's a vacuum, it's cryogenic, which means the temperatures are about minus 300 Fahrenheit.
And you can't even get electricity to move around at that temperature, right?
Well, you can. The problem is solvable, and one of my favorite things about engineering is that where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely.
There's a way to solve every problem by using your engineering prowess. So we're going to do it, but for now, because we've never developed a system that can actually sample into this ice, which actually we don't really know exactly what the ice is going to be like, We have to do a ton of research just to figure out how to design a cutting system that not only can survive in this environment, but actually successfully acquire and analyze samples on the surface.
So when you're talking about a test bed, are you talking about, well, tell us, what do you mean by test bed?
So a test bed is just kind of a general term for any kind of testing infrastructure you need to test some process or system. Okay. So the test bed that I'm working on is actually a mid-sized cryogenic vacuum chamber. And the chamber that I'm working on, in order to have a really rapid turnover on the sample testing, we're going to have multiple airlock chambers so that we can make these cryogenic unusual ice concoctions and pass them into the chamber one by one while a robotic arm inside is still testing other samples.
Oh my goodness.
So it actually is almost like a robotic test bed, to be fair.
I see. So you're testing to make sure that, for example, a robot will be able to cut down into that ice in those particular scenarios.
Exactly. And there's so many crazy requirements on this project that make it a really interesting engineering problem. One of them being that because Europa is so small and doesn't have huge gravitational forces, our lander cannot exert any big forces down against the
surface. It'll push it off the planet.
Exactly. It'll launch itself or it'll become a rover by accident.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's tons of little nuances in there.
And so that's just one of the things you're working on.
Yes.
Like, how many hours do you people have in a day? I mean, my goodness.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a lot of work, but it is so fun and rewarding. It's really exciting to work on something that is an area that has never been pioneered. Mm-hmm. So it's worth it.
Absolutely.
So the Europa is the one task I'm working on. Another is called the Planetary Landing Testbed Project.
Okay.
And here at JPL, we're developing a bunch of infrastructure, again, for testing landers and rovers and things that we design, for testing them here on Earth before we deploy them. Mm-hmm. So one of the systems that I'm working on is an active motion control system.
Okay.
And the primary function for this is going to be for gravitational offloading. So gravitational offloading is necessary because if we design something, say like the Curiosity rover, mm-hmm. We design this rover and we have it here on Earth, but when it gets to Mars, it's going to be in one-third the gravity that
right.
it is on Earth. So one of our challenges is saying, okay, are the dynamics that we're seeing when testing here on Earth actually reflective of what the environment's going to be like?
Right.
And the answer is no.
Yeah,
if you have less
so.
Gravity, it's going to be a different environment. So one of the challenges is trying to simulate that reduced gravitational effect. And for previous tests, what they did with Curiosity is they had a Scarecrow rover, where it was literally just the drive system with all of the external instruments removed so that the overall weight was one-third of the overall weight.
I see. That's so clever.
Yeah.
I was thinking you got to drive these things in a plane and then sort of float a little bit. And that's funny. I'm not as smart, obviously. Is so what's the third project then?
So the third project is also an incredible project. It's called Starshade. Mm-hmm. And Starshade is a project that is looking for life in other planets in the universe, which is really exciting.
It is, but most people, when they think of life, they're thinking of like, you know, we're going to find Spock. But that's not necessarily what life means. From your perspective, maybe you can describe that a little bit.
Absolutely. So when we say we're looking for life, you know, that could be anything. Even if we find something that is some primordial sign of something that was like the first building blocks of life, that shows us that a planet may be able to develop more complex forms of life.
Sure.
So even a tiny little bacteria or something like that is extremely interesting to us.
That's amazing. So let's talk about space apps and your involvement in that, other than all this other cool stuff you're working on this too. Tell us about that.
So Space Apps Challenge, as you know, obviously, is this amazing worldwide hackathon. And on the 22nd, the Friday before the launch of the Space Apps event, there's a special Women in Data boot camp session. It's a whole day that's aimed at trying to encourage girls and women to feel confident and comfortable entering a hackathon environment, because it's usually not a huge female presence. Mm-hmm. So the day is going to be filled with inspirational speakers. We have an amazing astronaut and congresswoman who's going to be giving a talk. I'll be doing a short talk. And there's a three-hour block that is all hands-on boot camp-style exercises that are focused in programming and electronics. So the nonprofit that I work with, MindMakers, will be present to host a hands-on electronics exercise to get all the girls used to the idea of soldering, for example,
yes.
and laying out circuits. And in my experience, people can be really intimidated by getting their hands on a project. And I think that if you really kind of like guide them through it and show them that it's not that bad, kind of baby step them into it, people get really excited about doing electronics.
Absolutely. So there are many people that are obviously not going to be able to attend. What advice do you have for them to get started as well?
Oh man, you gotta go online and look for tutorials. Mm-hmm. There's so much information online about how to get into electronics. I actually wrote a blog post if anybody's interested. It's on Medium. It's called So You Wanna Make Things That Do Stuff.
We'll make sure to put a link here.
I think it's So You Wanna Build Things That Do Stuff. I forget what I titled it. But I included in there, you know, from a total beginner standpoint, if you wanna know how to do electronics, you're gonna have to start from scratch. You need to learn what all these words mean, and that's a huge mountain that people can really be intimidated to overcome. So the goal of the blog is to kind of organize all of these really good resources in one place to kind of get people confident saying, okay, I know what these words mean, I'm comfortable reading these tutorials.
Well, that's amazing. I'm so excited, I'm so sad I can't be there for that.
It's gonna be so much fun. I'm so excited. It's such a bummer you won't be there.
I know, where can people go to find out more about you and sort of your work? You mentioned your blog on Medium. Do you have any more other things? You talked about your nonprofit. Tell us about that.
Sure, so the nonprofit is called Mind Makers, and it's an engineering educational initiative that's aimed at both adults and children. And the goal is to try to expose people that maybe wouldn't necessarily be exposed to engineering or have the confidence to pursue it, to kind of dive in and to learn that actually, hey, this is totally attainable and I can do this. Our website is mindmakersproject.org.
Nice.
We've got tons of information on there.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I wish we could nerd out more and I could go see all our robots. She won't let me.
I can take you after you're done.
Thanks so much for being with us. My name is Seth Juarez. We're here at JPL. Thanks for watching and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.